You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott. This month, two students at Burlington Township High School in New Jersey took their own lives. Almost 5,000 Americans between the ages of 10 and 24 die by suicide each year. Schools could be part of a first line of defense in preventing suicide, and legislators are starting to pay attention to this. Here's one example. Starting in September, Pennsylvania teachers will have to be trained in recognizing the signs of suicide risk. But is that enough? Joining us now are Jonathan Singer, a Temple professor of social work, and psychologist Terry Urbacher. Together, they've just written a new book called Suicide in Schools. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Jonathan, let's start with you. Does this topic come up as part of the curriculum? It's one thing to be trained to recognize warning signs, but is there a conversation about this issue that happens in classrooms?
I don't think schools are very interested in talking about suicide. I think they'd much rather not talk about it. It's a scary topic. A lot of mental health professionals are scared to talk about it, let alone, you know, the person that's teaching health class or that's trained in teaching math. The expectation that they should be comfortable talking with kids about something like suicide, it's unreasonable. And yet, it should happen.
Ideally, Terry, what should schools do?
Yeah, I think it's everything from prevention to postvention. So in prevention, you know, having a good prevention program, working with all kids in terms of just starting with emotional wellness, and then training all the students too in terms of looking out for your peers for any of those warning signs, training the teachers on the warning signs so that they can let the mental health professionals know there's a concern and we can take it from there and do the screenings. And then, you know, working with the child from there, you know, monitoring that suicide risk over time, because even if we do hospitalize a student, a mistake that's often made is they return from the hospital and we think, okay, I did what I had to do, which that's only the beginning. So continuing to monitor them and work with them over time. And then, heaven forbid, there is a suicide loss, having a really good postvention program in place already.
So Jonathan, postvention obviously addresses the time after something terrible has happened. It's usually not a time when everybody is thinking at their best.
No, and that's one of the reasons why having a crisis plan in place is so important. If you have a school that says, oh no, we just had a suicide death, how do we deal with it? It's almost too late.
What is the right thing to do? A lot of times everybody's worried about copycats, for example.
So there's messaging, right? So what do you say when a kid has died? This is something that has to have a personal connection. You want to make sure that there are folks available that can talk to anyone who is in emotional distress or can recognize people who might be in emotional distress.
Making sure that we don't glorify it in any way. So a lot of times kids will want to decorate lockers. Kids will want to, you know, have candlelight vigils that are not supervised. You know, really just making sure it's not glorified, because that's when you can lead to the contagion. So really also using that as an opportunity to educate kids. You know, look around you. Look at your peers. Here's what you can do if you see someone else who's feeling the distress.
How are schools doing with this kind of having a postvention team in place, having a crisis plan?
I mean, they're not doing great. The crisis teams that have been established, they tend to focus on things like school shootings, not the kinds of crises that happen when a student dies by suicide or a staff member dies by suicide.
Is there perhaps a fear that if you talk about it, you put that thought into somebody's head?
Absolutely. It's a huge fear, and it's one of the most pervasive myths about suicide, which is that if I ask you, are you thinking about killing yourself, that somehow that's going to make you want to kill yourself, which is totally not true. To the contrary, rather than increasing risk, it decreases risk.
But still, it seems like that hurdle of getting over the stigma is still there.
Well, it's enormous. It's the stigma. There's also a time and money thing. You can train staff for an hour once a year on identifying risk factors and warning signs, but then they go back to work, right? So this isn't something that can really just happen once and be effective. You have to commit to it.
Because I guess the thing is, nowadays with social media, word gets out in seconds, right?
It does.
My job has changed dramatically in 15 years since social media is so prevalent, because we could do a much more planned crisis response after a suicide, figure out exactly how we're going to tell them, make sure we contact the family first, Now we have no time. You know, we have to be prepared to respond immediately, or the kids are already talking amongst themselves, which is more dangerous, you know, again, because we don't know what they're saying and what truth there is. So it really has changed the game.
You know, one of the things that I'll say is that I think the suicide prevention community really sees social media and technology as neither inherently good nor bad. We talk about, you know, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, you know, as possible ways of spreading bad information. But there are also apps out there that can help people create safety plans. There are apps that can help connect people instantly with others through either formal, you know, chat lines or whatever. Facebook has this thing where somebody can report a post and they get connected immediately to the chat lifeline. And so rather than shying away from social media and technology, I think we need to use it correctly and have active conversations about what that looks like and how we can do it best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Terry Urbacher is a professor of psychology at the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. Jonathan Singer is a professor of social work at Temple University. Together, they've written Suicide in Schools.